Tens of thousands of Australians have gathered at Anzac Day commemorations across the country and in Europe, Turkey and Papua New Guinea. The federal election campaign was temporarily suspended, with the Prime Minister and the opposition leader trading their early morning TV interviews for dawn services. In his final Anzac Day address as Governor-General, former Army Chief Sir Peter Cosgrove spoke of the importance of the day.
It is by our presence to say to the shades of those countless men and women who did not come home, or who made it back but who have now passed, and to say to their modern representatives, the ones around the nation who today march behind their banners, you matter. What you did matters. You are in our hearts. Let it be always thus.
A little earlier, I caught up with the director of the Australian War Memorial, Dr. Brendan Nelson, and asked him if he was reassured that the Anzac spirit lived on.
It's obvious that it is alive and well, not only by what we see on Anzac Day, but we see in our lives all through the year of everyday Australians being caring and selfless, and when required, also being heroic. And when you look at the numbers of people that are turning out for Anzac Day and other commemorative services, it's reassuring. I think what's happening, Patricia, is the young generation, which I actually think is better than mine, they are increasingly looking for and finding meaning in what it means to be an Australian, in the qualities that they find and perceive to be in these young men and women who wear and have worn the uniform of our three services. And the other aspect of this is that over the last 20 years, our nation has created close to 100,000 young veterans. And those, they've seen these young men and women go off to East Timor, Iraq, the Solomon Islands, Northern Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan, and also to peacekeeping operations, protecting our borders, and then helping us in our times of crisis. And I think what's happening is that Australians are appreciative of the fact that we do have freedoms that we enjoy. We see them threatened in so many parts of the world, and it's a way, obviously, of saying that we care about what you've done and we're grateful for what you've done.
Sir Peter Cosgrove delivered his final Anzac Day address as Governor General, and he talked about the importance of saying to those who have and who continue to serve that what you did matters. What did you make of those sentiments that he delivered today?
Well, those sentiments that he expressed in his speech, I must say, is precisely the message that I keep reinforcing, and I'm so pleased that our Governor General was able to say that. What's really important for veterans and the families who love and support them and make those significant sacrifices, what's important is they need to know that what they do and what they've done matters to us. The reason we can do what we do is because we have outsourced the responsibility in certain circumstances to kill and risk being killed, to defend and protect the way of life that too often we take for granted. And in return, there's a promise, an unstated promise, that we all make to these men and women, and that is that we will obviously support them financially and in other ways, but the other one is that we care about what they do.
There are still many veterans fighting the Department of Veterans Affairs to get proper recognition of their physical and psychological injuries that they've suffered. Is that an issue we should be talking more about on Anzac Day?
Firstly, you're right that it's an issue we should be speaking more about, and we are. For example, I know at the DY service in Sydney this morning, the Dawn Service address was given by Gwen Chernay, a widow whose husband was a highly experienced commando who suicided in early 2017. And throughout the country, many of the Dawn Service and commemorative addresses have focused on the lived psychological traumas borne by men and women coming back and the impact that it has on their families. So I think in the awareness stakes, I think we're doing pretty well. In fact, the best of any generation so far. My own view is that, firstly, there is not a country in the world where it is better to be a veteran than in Australia. It doesn't mean we've got it perfect. It's easy for me to say, I know I'm not a veteran. I'm a former defence minister, a NATO ambassador, and now I run the War Memorial. But between our government and then our non-government organisations, Legacy, RSL, Mates for Mates, Soldier On, and a myriad of them, I think we get it as right as you possibly can. Of course, there are still problems. I'm not suggesting for a minute there aren't issues and aren't things that the department could do better. But in my observation, seeing the leadership of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and by the way, there is immense bipartisanship politically in this space, I think it has really lifted its game.
You've been criticised in recent days because you're a board member of Thales Group, a French weapons manufacturer that's also a major sponsor of the War Memorial. What's your response to that critique of those roles?
Well, firstly, I am patron of 9 charities. I do a whole variety of things, of which I hasten to add, I don't take a cent. I did a major review of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade for the government, for which I took no remuneration. I also was a member of, you'll recall, of the high-level committee that reviewed the entitlements of MPs and senators. I was invited in early 2015 to join the advisory board of Thales Australia, a major employer in this country, a company that provides not only important essential defence material, like the Bushmaster, for example, to the Australian Defence Force, but also in a variety of civilian contexts, particularly in air traffic management. I sought and received the permission of the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minister for Veterans Affairs, the Public Service Commissioner, the Chairman of the Council of the War Memorial, and every cent that I would otherwise be paid for being on that advisory board is fully donated to the Australian War Memorial. I do it because I bring to the task, I think, some guidance which can help Thales in this case in its decision making in relation to the employment of Australians, and also reading the broader political, economic and social milieu in which decisions are having to be made. I've got no executive authority whatsoever with it, and as I say, I receive absolutely no benefit from it at all financially. Every cent of it goes to the Australian War Memorial.
Yeah, as you've said, your salary is donated to the War Memorial, but is there a broader criticism that you can understand that a company that profits from war shouldn't be a major sponsor to the War Memorial? Well, I mean, do you understand that critique?
Patricia, in one sense I do, but in another I don't. If you were to take that argument, I mean, the monopsony purchaser of defence material in this country is the government. If we were to take that view to its logical conclusion, the Australian War Memorial would not take government funding. And when is a company a defence provider and when is it not? Is a company that makes motor vehicles for defence a defence provider, or computers and so on and so forth, or software, whatever it might be? In my very strong view, the defence companies, whether they're primes or a whole variety of small and medium enterprises, they, as you use your own language, they profit from providing essential equipment to our defence personnel. Our government pays for them. In my very strong view, those companies have an obligation to actually assist this country explain the consequences of war, the devastating impact, the horror, the bloodshed, the psychological traumas that come out of it. And so the companies that have been supporting us, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Thales, Northrop Grumman, BAE Systems, for example, I say, where are the others? I mean, these are companies that are largely populated by veterans themselves, and those veterans, they want and they expect the company they work for to donate money to causes like having their stories told.
Dr. Nelson, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Patricia.